And so Allah used his life to reveal the laws and to reveal Islamic lifestyle. And that is the basis of our study. The second level comes in with writings that were done in the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And it is reported by some of the historians that by the time of the death of the Prophet ﷺ, that there were in existence the following materials. There were sayings or ahadith that were written by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, by Ali, by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum, and some of the Sahaba who were writing. But at that time there were only a few people who were involved in writing. There are also written orders, treaties, like the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. There were messengers that were sent by the Prophet ﷺ to different tribes. Number three, there were letters that were written by the Prophet ﷺ to the various kings. And number four, the names of 1,500 of the Sahaba had been recorded and were passed on at the time of the death of the Prophet ﷺ. The next level for our sources of seerah is the hadith sources themselves. And we find that within the hadith, which is the sayings and the actions and descriptions of the Prophet ﷺ, we find that in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, in At-Tirmidhi, in Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and so forth and so on, we find that there are sections within these sunan that deal with the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the life of his companions. And so this is the next level. After this, when we look at the sources and what was being transcribed, we find that after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Khulafa al-Rashideen paid more attention to the sayings that dealt with the Sharia. And they were involved in the state building. They were involved in expansion. And they were involved in establishing the law. But the actual recording of the seerah at that point was basically oral. And it was during the time of Banu Umayyah, or the Umayyads, that orders were given on a state level for the seerah to be recorded. And we find that Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu an, who was actually called Katib al-Wahi, the writer of the revelation. Muawiyah himself was literate, and he was one of the people who recorded the revelation. He was the first person to encourage on a state level the writing down of the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and he opened up this door to writing. After this, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, one of the Umayyad leaders, ordered the scholars in the Muslim world to write on every topic. But it was during the rule of the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, radiallahu an, it was during this time that we find the greatest expansion within the traditions. And we find that the Khalifa Umar, radiallahu an, that he literally made it his responsibility to track down the scholars, to gather together the people who were making these recordings, to finance them, and to record this information. And it is reported that from amongst the different traditions, that the traditions of Aisha radiallahu anha had a unique place within Islamic thought. And there was a woman, a tabi'i named, her name was Amra bint Abdurrahman, who had been raised by Aisha. And she was the leading authority on her sayings. And it is reported that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu an, that he commanded his qadi, Abu Bakr ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah, he was commanded to go to Amra and to collect these sayings and to send it to the Khalifa. The next area which is very important, and especially during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, is what is called Al-Maghazi. And Al-Maghazi basically deals with the battles, the tribal struggles that went on, and the warlike deeds of the Arabs. And when you look at the history of the Arabs in the Arabian Peninsula, you will find that, basically speaking, they didn't have arts and sciences. But they took great care to record their warlike deeds and their tribal conflicts. And so this subject of Maghazi was opened up by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And it was during this time that the student of Qadi Abu Bakr, whose name was Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, that he, being the most learned person of his time in fiqh and hadith, he visited the homes of the Ansar, of the Tabi'een. He collected traditions, and he became the most important person in gathering these traditions of As-Sirah and Al-Maghazi. And two of his pupils rose higher than anybody else. Musa ibn Uqba was a Tabi'i. You have Sahaba, and you have Tabi'een, and Tabi' Tabi'een. These are the different generations. So that he was a Tabi'i, and he was known for his preciseness in recording knowledge. And actually, he was one of the teachers of Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu. The other student of Imam al-Zuhri was Muhammad ibn Ishaq. He was a Tabi'i as well. And he is considered to be the highest authority in Maghazi and As-Sirah. He was well versed in hadith. And he was the only person who had free access to the home of Az-Zuhri. And so it is from these two that you find a body of students develop, and you find this information starts to take shape. And the seerah of Ibn Ishaq, which is not available today in its original form, was edited by Abdul Malik ibn Hisham. And so what we have today is an expanded, edited version of Sirah ibn Ishaq. This is considered to be the most authentic work done on the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Also, there are names like Al-Waqidi, there's Ibn Sa'd. There are a number of individuals. You'll find a long list of names of people who are involved in this field. You also find another area. This is called Shama'il, Kutub al-Shama'il. And these books of Shama'il, or the descriptions of the Prophet ﷺ, are also works that record the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And so it is with this that we are able to understand the states, and we're able to understand the descriptions, the detailed descriptions of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. There is also Dala'il al-Nubuwa, and Al-Hafidh al-Bayhaqi was one of the great scholars who worked in this area. For our information, the next level after the books of Al-Maghazi was Sirah, is the historical works. And in this area, Imam al-Bukhari has At-Tariq al-Saghir. He has the small history, and then he has At-Tariq al-Kabir, the major history. And these are two important books of history. There's also the Tariq of Imam al-Tabari, which is one of the most important works in history. There's also Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya of Ibn Kathir. And so the most important sources for us are three: the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq, the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd, and the Tariq al-Tabari. These are the three most important works. And alhamdulillah, this work of Ibn Ishaq has been translated into English. And so this is available for us. It's available at the local bookstores by A. Gilliam. And this is probably the most important work that we can study from to follow along according to the authentic sources. There are also a number of theses and works that have been recently done. One Mahdi, he is Dr. Mahdi Rizqullah Ahmed, who has done a work on the prophetic biography in the light of the authentic sources. There is also Ash-Shifa of Qadi Iyad. There is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Muhammad Haykal. And then there are books of Fiqh al-Sirah. And you have Muhammad Saeed Ramadan al-Buti, and you have a Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali, and a number of works in Fiqh al-Sirah. And so it is our intention, inshallah, to try to go through this slowly. and to work from the time of Jahiliyyah, to look at the world before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then after this to look at his birth, and then following this to look from his birth until his marriage, from his marriage to the prophethood, and then to look at the prophethood in stages, the early stages in Mecca, the later stages in Mecca, the Hijrah, the Medina period. And we hope, inshallah, to be able to extract from what we are learning lessons for today. This is the most important aspect of fiqh sirah. Without this, it is merely a story being read. We hope that this, inshallah, would influence our lives and the lives of our families and would play a great role in changing our situation today here in the Cape and in South Africa and in other parts of the world. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.